Our scripture reading, our second scripture reading this morning, comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. Very familiar words, and certainly I think you can find yourself within these words and our congregation together. And I invite you to lift up, share any words or phrases that stand out for you this morning. Let us listen for the word of God. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If a foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. May God bless our hearing and our receiving of this Holy Scripture. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Did any of these good words or phrases speak to you this morning? Shannon's got one. All parts are required to make a complete body. A paraphrase, but right on target. Yeah. Well, let me read. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. So now, O God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. A minister, a priest, and a rabbi went for a hike one day. It was very hot, as it has been. They were sweating and exhausted when they came to a small lake. Since it was fairly secluded, they took off all their clothes and jumped into the water. Feeling refreshed, the trio decided to pick a few berries while enjoying their freedom. As they were crossing an open area, who should come along but a group of ladies from town? Unable to get to their clothes in time, the minister and the priest covered their privates, and the rabbi covered his face while they ran for cover. After the ladies had left and the men got their clothes back on, the minister and priest asked the rabbi why he covered his face rather than his privates. The rabbi replied, "I don't know about you, but in my congregation, it is my face they would recognize." Sorry about that. My question today is, when people look at the church as the body of Christ, what part of the body do they recognize? When people look at us, First Christian Church, what do they see? When the Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Corinthians, he was seeing people who were struggling with the issues of the day. Sexual immorality, divorce, abstinence, climbing the ladder of success, legalism, the importance of marriage. Have we progressed at all since those early days of the church? What do people see when they look at us? When people look at a church, a lot of them just see a building. There are tall cathedral church buildings. There are modern high-tech church buildings. There are small prefab or even storefront buildings. But when people see those buildings, are they really seeing the church? Some people see the advertisements online or in the newspaper. Some churches even advertise on TV or radio. Do people see the church in those ads, or do they just see the money spent? Some people see the programs of the church, worship, prayer groups, women's ministry. Some see the outreach ministries of the church, street ministry, love boxes, disciple missionaries, new church development, reconciliation. Do people see in those programs and ministries, do they see the church, or do they just see the accomplishments of the church? And some people only look to see how the church stands on the political or so-called moral issues of the day. I'm almost afraid to ask what young people see in the church, but I do want to know. I can ask Liam. But I'll ask all of you, when you hear of a particular church, how many of you think first of the building? I admit I quite often do, not so many others. Well, people can see a lot about our church from looking at these different parts of our church and our ministries. But do they really see who we are? Do we even see who we are as First Christian Church? Or are we covering up any private parts that we're not so proud of or that we just don't understand very well? The early church in Corinth did not see who they were very well. And that was one of Paul's biggest complaints. For instance, we read, when they gathered for worship and to celebrate the Lord's Supper, they didn't wait for everyone to get there. They called it the Lord's Supper, thinking that Christ was present when they broke the bread and drank the cup. But Paul wanted them to understand that it is when the whole body comes together to break the bread and drink the cup that Christ is truly and fully present. If part of the body is not present, then the body is not complete. We recently held our general assembly of the larger church in Memphis, Tennessee. At that assembly, sense of the assembly resolutions were considered and discussed and voted on regarding the moral crisis of the federal budget, opposition to Project 2025, the federal response to immigrants, migrants, and refugees, and an affirmation of the World Council of Churches. many things. I'm sure there was much debate there. Where do disciples stand on other moral issues of today? Abortion, sexual preference, the sanctity of marriage? I'll bet many of you wonder about that too. But disciples, the Christian church disciples of Christ, don't have an official stance on any of these issues other than Jesus' command to love God and love all people. We are encouraged to study each of these issues carefully, to ask how our relationship with God through Jesus informs our own stance, to pray and seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to act or vote out of that careful study and prayer. We are people of learning, and we want to keep learning. But doesn't that lead to disagreement within the church? Some people believing and acting in one way, and others believing and acting in another? Yes, it does. It hopefully, though, will lead to personal and group study of the Bible, application of the Bible to real lives, understanding of the world and its need for the gospel, and then our personal engagement in the issues and needs of the world, guided and empowered by the love of Jesus Christ. But if we're going to be the church, shouldn't we stand together and in agreement when it comes to the important issues of the world? Yes, we should stand together. But as part of the Christian church disciples of Christ, we probably will have to agree to disagree at times. You see, when Paul talks about the church as the body of Christ, he talks about the many parts of the body: Jews, Greeks, slaves, free people, hands, feet, eyes, nose. He says, indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And if the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? So I'm glad that each of you who are official members of this church are here and are part of this church. And I hope that any who are not official members might feel comfortable becoming a member. It doesn't mean that you have to subscribe to any political or moral stance. It doesn't mean you have to agree with me or anyone else here. It does mean that you have chosen First Christian Church to be the church within the larger body of Christ, where you plan to grow in your understanding of the Bible, grow in your relationship with God through Jesus, grow in your understanding of and engagement with the community and the world around you in Jesus' name and Jesus' spirit of love. And it does mean that we, all of us here, are here to take this journey with you. Together as First Christian Church, we can agree that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we proclaim him to be our Lord and Savior. Lord means ruler of our lives, our guide. That is the one requirement to be a member. Because when it comes down to it, the one thing we want people to see when they look at our building, any advertisements, our programs and ministries, The one thing we always want people to see is Jesus. To see Jesus. We want people to see Jesus and meet Jesus and grow with Jesus. We want that for ourselves when we gather as the church, the body of Christ. And we want that for everyone we meet in our neighborhood, in our community, and in our world. Everyone who sees us or hears about us, we want them to see Jesus above all else. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a member of First Christian Church. Of course, we are all on that journey to become the Christians, to become the church that God is calling us to be. Now, God has to pick each one of us up sometime or another, dust us off, forgive us, give us a second chance. Thank God he's done that for me. We are all becoming the body of Christ. Membership means becoming the body of Christ. And membership means that when the world looks at you and us at First Christian Church, they see Jesus more and more every day. So, take-home question. What do people see at First Christian Church that makes them think of Jesus? Will you pray with me? Strong and loving God, we are so grateful that you do accept us just as we are, and you invite us into this church, into a relationship with you, into your love, and into your forgiveness if we will just receive it. You love us so much that you sent your Son Jesus to show us how to live this journey of life in relationship with you on this earth, to learn how to do that in relationship with you. We just pray, oh God, that you would open our eyes, open our ears, our minds, open our hearts to listen for your message of love, to receive it, to let it percolate within us, and to just flow out of us your love for everyone we meet. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.